Good afternoon. Wow, what a turnout. Thank you all for being here. We'll give you a couple minutes for others who aren't seated. For those of you who don't know me, I am George Labudier. I'm the current president of the Katharine Washburn Medical Association, and I am thrilled to see the turnout. Thank you very much. Today's a really important meeting, and I thought what I'd do is give you a little bit of an idea of what's going to happen today, and then we will proceed. So after a few short comments that I'll have, I will introduce Krista Campbell, who is the president of the Public Hospital District. And then Bob Wilson, Dr. Bob, will be here, but he just had two emergencies to take care of. So in typical style, when the helicopters are gone, I guess Bob will be back. And then Jay Preby, who is the director of primary care for University of Washington Medicine, and Deborah Gusson, who is the executive director of neighborhood clinics for University of Washington, will give us a presentation and let us know what the partnership's going to look like going forward from here. Following that, Rhea Miller will chair or facilitate the question and answer period, and you're going to have plenty of time for your questions. So I'd ask, in view of that, please hold any questions that come up during the course of the presentation. Just hold those until we get to the Q&A period, if you would. That'd be great. So my comments are going to be brief, and I'm really thrilled to be able to stand up in public and acknowledge Marty Clark. About a year ago, she and we on the board learned that our current provider of medical services for the Lopez Clinic, here's Dr. Bob. We have a seat for you up front, Bob. Anyhow, about a year ago, we learned that our partner was going to terminate our relationship effective June 30th of this year. And so Marty, all 5 feet one of her, or whatever she is, 5 feet three, excuse me, took charge. And I have to tell you that for a year, it has been nonstop. Marty selected a few of the other directors, and I'll introduce them in a minute, to assist her in this. And really had to put things in the normal course of life aside, and she and others spent innumerable hours pursuing and sorting out the various opportunities we have and then finally bring us to where we are today. So I'm going to introduce the people that Marty kind of had in her inner circle and ask them to stand, and we can acknowledge them together. First, of course, Marty Clark. Stand up, Marty, please. Hold your applause. Let me get the rest of them up. Charlie Janeway, or don't. Charlie, secretary of the association. Krista Campbell. At the time, Krista was vice president of the association. And Krista and Charlie went on several site visits off island for other clinics and other providers. So they had a lot of work to do. Lauren Stevens became our resident expert in how to establish public hospital districts, special elections, tax commissions, and so on. Lauren, where are you? Please. Thank you. And, of course, Dr. Bob. Stand up, Bob. So they, you know, I gave them instructions, stand as I introduce you. I forgot to tell them to stay standing. So Lauren, please stand, and Bob, stand. And let's acknowledge them, Charlie, all at once. Thank you. Oh, yeah. There was a fifth member of the team, and I've said it, everybody else has said it, and we're going to continue to say it. If it weren't for Peggy Means, we wouldn't be where we are. Peggy. What a volunteer. So, with nothing further, Krista, the podium's yours. Thank you.
I'm going to try to say them as quickly but succinctly as I can. Oh, hello. Hello, sorry. Okay. Rewind. I'll just stick to the script. I'd like to thank all of you for coming, especially since we're experiencing one of our few beautiful summer days today, and I know it's hard to give those up. So I just want to acknowledge a few things. We know that some of the most stressful events in life occur around change, a new house or a new job, a new spouse, and a new city. And now that we all can add a new clinic to our personal list. Since September, we have all committed a certain part of our consciousness or our subconsciousness to our clinic and what the future holds for healthcare here on Lopez Island. The feelings have been a mixture of concern, excitement, anxiousness, relief, all common and understandable when facing a major change. It takes energy to face uncertainty. I appreciate the patience and support our community has shown to the small number of Lopezians just recognized for the work they've done to address the problem. We're grateful for your words of encouragement and support over the last many months. I've been asked to give a quick summary of how we got here today, and I will try to make it brief because we're really here to talk about the future and not what has happened in the past. So what I like to call pre-September, the good old days, when I was on the Catherine Washburn board, we were working on a possible expansion of the clinic. That's where all the energy was going. In September 2016, Island Hospital notified us of termination of the contract that we've had with them for over 20 years, and that would be effective June 2017. Marty and CWMA took up the commitment to continue healthcare on Lopez Island. In October, we formed the Partner Response Group, who was just recognized, and an ambitious timeline of about 6 months was set to have everything kind of wrapped up. We met with our clinic staff to share with them what little we knew, and the first of many, many conference calls with many organizations and agencies and individuals began. And Peggy got us enrolled in a crash course, Healthcare 101, and it was brutal. We were not auditing. We were actually taking the class. By November, we had reached out to 9 entities to explore their interest in partnering with the Lopez Clinic. We had our first substantive conversation with the University of Washington that month, and we had our first discussion about the need for a public hospital district. We also broached the possibility of independent operation as a backup plan. In December, we started the work of gathering signatures for the public hospital district. The conference calls continued. The exploration and education on healthcare in 2017 continued. January, we held our first community meeting, and we were out promoting the public hospital district. By February, we'd focused on 3 key things: the possibility of working out an agreement with the University of Washington, the possibility of going independent, and reaching out to certain healthcare organizations that would be willing to do service contracts with us. We continued the work on the vote. We had presentations. We met with council. Under Lauren's tutelage, we kept that going. In March, we had a second meeting, more conference calls. If you haven't used them, freeconferencedoll.com is fantastic. It is actually free, and thank goodness for that. In April, we had our third community meeting. We had a preliminary agreement was being drafted with the University of Washington. We had a successful election, and the public hospital district was created, and the commissioners were selected. And our thanks to you, Lopez, for that incredible show of support. The transition clock was ticking, 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 and so in good faith, the University of Washington stepped into the clinic building and started some of their work without an agreement with us. In May, the election was validated, an initial agreement or term sheet was signed with the university, our first public hospital district meeting was held, that was a fun time, and the transition work continued. This month, we signed a final agreement with the University of Washington on the 15th, and the transition work is now going full speed ahead. So it seems like it lasted forever, but time was flying because we were having so much fun, and we had a deadline. So that's how we got here. There's a lot of other details, but that's just a kind of a quick synopsis. I would like to express my gratitude, and those, we should all be expressing gratitude to these people, to the clinic staff, for the grace and the calm that they've showed during this event. They've continued to provide our community with quality care, and they've supported the search committee in our efforts, and they've been working to make this transition a success, and we are indebted to them. It's a stressful time for the clinic. So, yes, I would like some applause. Are there clinic staff here today? Anybody? So I'm just going to take a minute. You've elected them, but some of you elected them. I'm not sure if everyone here was a voter, but I'd like to introduce our new commission, the Public Hospital Commission. If you're here, if you would stand up. Iris Gravel, Jim Orkett, Albert Berger, Becky Presley, and myself. So. I also would like to introduce our interim superintendent, Deb Wiggs. Is she in the house? There she is. We got to know Deb. Her group helped us investigate and find out determine the feasibility of going independent. And through developing that relationship, we developed a contract with her for this interim position. She's going to help launch us as a fledgling district, help us establish our operating policies and procedure, and work on the important budget that will go through public hearings and whatnot before November 1st of this year. Okay, so that's what I have to report. And now I get to pass it on to Bob. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for coming.
Hi. So I'm supposed to be here to allay fears and calm everybody down. I'm really nervous. But so what's not happening is the clinic is not closing. It's not being converted to a Starbucks brew pub. Although I'm holding out on that one. Yeah. The PT department's not becoming a exotic pet massage parlor. We are hanging in there for you guys. So what is happening is a conversion from Island Hospital Management to the University of Washington Management and Operations. And I'm really excited about that. As you know, the University of Washington is an amazing organization. I got it. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. And amazing in many, many ways. They operate and own hospitals. They operate or they employ a multitude of extraordinarily good specialists, lots and lots of generalists. They have the University of Washington Neighborhood Clinic Group. They're experts in general care, family practice care. You know that they're leading edge in many, many areas in research. And they have rural clinic care as well because of their WAMI program, the Washington, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho program that they affiliate with clinics. They have the residents trained there. And most of all, we have access to all of that. And most of all, we have access to their people. So I have met and talked with many of these people. And I can tell you that they're super smart. They're compassionate. They're kind. They're dedicated. And the one thing that I can tell you above all is they are dedicated to creating the absolute best possible situation for patients, the best care, the best environment. And so I actually, along the way, I had ideas about who we might go with. And UW, for whatever reason, initially was not at the top of my list. They are now. And not just because they're the only ones standing in the room, but because they are the best. They're amazing. They're fabulous, fabulous organization. So what you all need to understand is this is going to be a very complicated, very difficult transition, and at a really accelerated pace, probably faster, I would imagine, than they've had to do before. So Jay Priebe is here, and he's an expert at this. He's an expert at transitioning clinics. But I think even for him, this is going to be a heck of a challenge. So it has to be a collaborative team effort. And the team is the folks at the clinic, the folks at the University of Washington are absolutely key, our great EMS system led by a dedicated fire chief, Jim Gaglione, and all his minions and the paramedics and everybody else. Our public hospital district, the ongoing support of CWMA, and most important, you guys. You are the patients that support our clinic. And it'd be great if you keep coming to the clinic, for one. For two, understand that this is a tough process, and it'll take a while. And even though Jay and Deborah and Pam and all these folks have had lots and lots of experience, I believe this is their first time that they ever operated a remote rural clinic. So we can't expect this to be done perfectly from day one. This is going to have to be implemented and then road tested, right? And find out what springs and nuts and bolts fly off, and then redesign the thing and then run it again. I mean, I think this transition will be done about as well as it could be done. But it's tough. It's complicated. So what we need from you all is patience. Understand that the clinic is going to change in some ways, that your approach to it, the resources available are going to change. And in a lot of ways, those resources are going to get a lot better. I'm really excited about this. But it will be tough at times, and you're going to have to experience some change. So we rely on your patience, your feedback, your input will be super important. So that's happening between now and the 25th of September, and then, of course, that'll be ongoing. I am honestly a little scared and a little nervous about it, but I'm much more excited about everything that's coming our way. So these are great people. It's a great organization. Support them. I am. And I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen in the upcoming months. And I'd like to introduce two folks, Deborah Gussin, who is the executive director of University of Washington Neighborhood Clinics, and Jay Priebe, who's the Director of Ambulatory Operations for the UW. Did I get that right? More, sort of. they'll correct me. It's a real pleasure to have worked with them so far, and I'm looking forward to it in the future.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Wow, this is really impressive. Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Wilson. As Bob mentioned, I'm Deborah Gussin. I'm the executive director of the UW Neighborhood Clinics, which is our network of 12 primary care clinics across Puget Sound region. But this is our first island clinic, absolutely. We don't have any in the islands yet, as far as I know. I've been with UW for 23 years, doing a variety of different things. I actually started out at Harborview as a social worker. That's my clinical background. And before that, I did mostly mental health psychiatry work. And so I started out, spent a lot of years at Harborview, and then did some clinic management, administration, and ran some programs there. I love Harborview, very fond of it. I've known Chris Martin for many, many years, who I think most of you know through her role as the executive director of Airlift Northwest. And Chris and I have worked on many projects together for, 20 years plus that we've partnered on many things. So really happy to be working with her because she knows you all, I think, pretty well as well. I've been with the neighborhood clinics for just about 2 years in this role and having a wonderful time. I just have to tell you, I have an incredible passion for primary care. My personal belief, I think it's the center of the universe for medicine, especially these days. I think it is the most important part of healthcare. And what we're really excited to do is to partner with you all, with the community, to make sure that we're bringing really excellent primary care to Lopez. And while it is a big change, and I would agree with Chris, this is up there with sort of, you know, changes like marriage and moving and all those things, like moving into a new house, this is like remodeling your house while you're living in it, and we will be doing a little bit of that, right? But I don't think it's going to be as painful as a prolonged kitchen remodel. I mean, there's definitely going to be some hard things about this, but we're not going to be washing our dishes in the bathtub. I promise you that. It's not going to be at that level of disruption, mainly because you have a lot of things that are going really well right now, and I want to make sure that we reflect on that. I think, you know, as Bob said, you've got a lot of terrific things going for you. You have incredibly dedicated folks. You've got some high-quality team members, some things that are working really, really well, and we want to make sure that we draw on that, that we start with that as our beginning point, and that we partner with you. We are incredibly honored, I just have to say that, I can't emphasize enough, to have been chosen as your partner in this journey. We're really excited and honored to be working with you to figure out this next phase and make sure that it works as smoothly and as well for all of you. There definitely will be some, you know, trial and error pieces, but not around the quality of clinical care. And I just want to reassure folks about that, that we've got really great folks, and the pieces around the edges we might do some tweaking with, but that's going to be a process of us really understanding. Even though we do have a tremendous amount of experience in the WAMI region with rural programs, we don't have experience with Lopez, and we don't have experience on island healthcare, and so we have a lot to learn as well. So we're looking forward to that partnership, to that collaboration of really finding out how is this going to work out as best as possible for all of us together. Learning a lot already along the way. I just have to give great kudos to Jay for his work, 80, 90 hours a week right now, as far as I can tell, when I'm getting his emails at 3 o'clock in the morning. But also the existing team here, for all the clinic staff, all the folks on CWMA, and now our newly formed district, we've just been really appreciative of all the support, the welcoming that we've experienced, and so really want to thank you, and we look forward to continuing that. We just have, it's not really even a presentation, I'll be honest with you, so don't get like your hopes up too high. Jay's going to show a really quick video. I think we have one slide that just is sort of a laundry list of like, here's some stuff that we're going to be doing. But we're not here to sell you. We really wanted to have mainly a conversation. So as much as possible, we'd like to spend our time with you hearing your questions, concerns, anything. You can ask us anything under the sun, I promise. You ask us anything you want. We'll tell you whatever we know. Oh, that's so much better. Everybody looked like they were in the witness protection program. I couldn't see anybody back there. The sun was blinding me. So we're just going to mainly have a conversation. We'll just give you a little bit of information just so you can kind of start with that. But we'd like this to really be an interactive dialogue as much as possible this afternoon. So I'm going to turn it over to Jay. He's going to walk you through a few things, and then we'll chat.
And real quick, I'll just take a moment to introduce myself as well, too. So I'm Jay Preeby. I am the Director of Rural Primary Care Operations for UW Medicine Neighborhood Clinics. I've had the absolute honor of being being employed by the University of Washington UW Medicine for 9 years in multiple roles. My prior role was at UW Medicine Northwest Hospital, and primarily my job there was to assist with the acquisition partnership and mergers of primary and specialty care clinics. So I do have a lot of that background, as well as performance improvement, organizational development. So I'm hoping that a lot of those pieces I can bring to Island, but I'm certainly learning that some of those, it's a little different on Island, and so just really partnering with the people and the staff. I do want to say huge kudos to the staff. Thank you, those of you that are in the office, thank you, in the audience, excuse me. Thank you for partnering with me. It has been a tremendous honor to work with you during this process through the first stages here. So let me get here. So a little, just again, a little bit about UW Medicine. So there's 3,200 specialists, over 350 primary, 350 clinics, primary and specialty, four hospitals with emergency departments, one dedicated children hospital, one level one adult and pediatric trauma center, so Harborview, and then Airlift Northwest bases throughout the Pacific Northwest, five of those. So here's kind of a map, or kind of a breakdown of where we're at, and so we look forward to actually putting some, we need to make the map bigger and put a dot on here for Lopez Island, which we are super excited about doing. So you can see we are definitely robust within the region here. So just we're going to leave this up as we kind of do a Q&A, but just a little bit about what's coming soon to Lopez Island. Expanded hours of operation, so looking to expand care within the clinic. The implementation of Epic, our electronic health record, as well as the adoption of eCare, which is truly a patient-driven tool, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Enhance nurse visits. How can we use our nurses to the full scope of their licensure and allow them to participate in annual wellness visits? Training and resources for staff to work at the full scope. Integrated lab and radiology results with the new electronic health record. And I'll talk about a new innovative thing that we're looking at as well for lab results. Telemedicine implementation. This is our way of bringing specialists to you via telemedicine. So you'll just go to the clinic and be able to have a visit with a cardiologist or an endocrinologist or talk to a dietitian about your diabetes, as well as the virtual care clinic and the nurse community care line. So again, we'll leave this up as we have our Q&A. So if you have specific questions about these different tools and resources we'll bring, we will answer those.
Oops. Well, maybe I will and maybe I won't. There, we'll just do that. That works, I think. All right, I don't know about you, but I couldn't fill out my Medicare form without help. When I signed up for Medicare, I was like, somebody's got to help me with this, and there was somebody here to help me. So I know a little bit about how complicated this whole process is because I couldn't even fill out my first Medicare. So we're going to get on with it. So I imagine you have 1,000 questions. Everyone will get a chance to be heard, time allowing. We'll begin at taking one question or comment from each person, no repeats, until everybody who's wanted to have a question gets that answered. And you'll have to forgive me a minute. I left my timer down there. Along with my timer were my pruning shears I used to get down here through the trail through the woods. Okay. Okay, got my 2 minutes lined up here. All right. We've got at least an hour, maybe more, for your questions. If you would rather write down your question, there are pens and cards on the cookie table, and I hear the cookies are great. And in over there, I think, on the side table. So feel free to give them to Lori Harrison. Where are you? Right there is Lori, if you have a question that you want to write down and give to her. This meeting is being recorded to post on the clinic website, so please identify yourself by name before you begin. I guess I'll begin. I'm Rhea Miller. There are microphones for you on both sides of the room. Actually, it's only going to be on this side. And in addition to Jay and Deborah to answer your questions, we have Dr. Bob, we have Marty, we have Krista, we have Peggy, and Terry Dron. So I think that covers the protocol for where we're headed. So who would like to begin with their question? Microphone. Would you mind coming to the mic?
Okay.
I thought it was going to be a little more mobile, but it's not, so...
I hope my question is very simple and it's very self-centered. Yes.
Christine Curlin.
So I am covered by the Public Employees Benefits Board. Kaiser Permanente is now my provider, having been bought by Group Health. Can I still use the clinic?
Yes.
So that was one of our... a really important question as we stepped into this is that, obviously Group Health, who is now Kaiser, manages their own primary care. But for many years, they had an arrangement with Island Hospital that allowed group health folks to be seen here on the island by their clinic through what they call it a carve-in instead of a carve-out, that basically gave that permission because they don't have any, there's no group health on the island. And so we wanted to make sure that that could continue because there's not a huge number, but there's a not insignificant number of folks on the island who have group health Kaiser. And so our contracting folks have had a number of conversations with him, very promising, and of course, they want to make sure that their members continue to have access to great care, so they're going to continue that similar arrangement with us that will allow patients to get their care here. So that was very encouraging for all of us to learn.
We'll move a lot faster if you want to start lining up here by the microphone. Lori.
Hi, Lori Taylor, and I am actually a health insurance broker here on Lopez Island and represent a good number of people here. What about for those that need to go to other University of Washington clinics off-island, other services? And to add to that, those that have had already established relationship, say, with Island Hospital providers, mm-hmm. do they need to start over again?
No. I mean, our assumption would be nothing would need to change. If you have a restriction on where you can go based on your insurance, that won't change. So if you have an insurance that requires you to go here, you know, to some specific place, you'll still do that as you do now. You know, I'll tell you, our bias is that we have a lot of specialists at UW Medicine, and there's benefit once you're working with UW Medicine, you've got your electronic health record that goes seamlessly throughout the whole. And we take care of a lot of folks already for specialty care. And many of you travel down to Seattle or other sites of UW Medicine to get specialty care, and so that can continue as well. But it doesn't have to be. There's no requirement.
Stand on my tiptoes. I'm Judy Meyer, and I have a why not question for you, which is why not include physical therapy in your list of things that you do? I realize you don't do that in other clinics, but the situation on an island is really different, and I'm not the only older person in this audience that really depends on that, and so why not?
Sure. And you know, I think there may be, the why not was actually a good video to show. There's probably a lot of why nots that we may discover over the course of, you know, getting going, but I might ask Terry, do you want to say a couple of words about physical therapy? That'd be great, because I know it's on, a lot of people are very eager to hear about that.
So I think I'll say it from a sort of a perspective of how this all came to be, because it might sort of let a lot of people know what's happening. I think first of all, directly in response to Judy, she asked why isn't the UW taking on PT, and I can only say what I think is the truth. Which is that it's not really in the UW's model, is what we were told. So what happened when, you know, they're focusing on primary care, and I think you can speak to this better, but I think, you know, their focus on doing what they know was the decision. And then when we learned of that decision, what we decided to undertake, Kim and Bobby and I, and with the help of the Washburn Foundation and hopefully the hospital district as well, was that we would, because the physical therapy is, we know, a really vital part of this community's health. And of course I believe that, but I know that people here also believe that. And we have decided to take on the enormous task, which is really daunting for me, and all of us, really, to become a private practice and investigate and come up with budgets and try and figure that out for the community. And so where we are now in that process is coming up with a budget and hopefully presenting that to the Washburn Foundation, the hospital district, for support. I think what's tricky for us is I think that, you know, in the past, you know, we have done well. In the past couple of years, with the payer mix changes, PT has suffered we've had about a I forget, I think it's 8% loss. And it's a little daunting thinking about that going forward. I think we can do it. But it is important that we're going to give it our best try. And I think with support we can for sure do that. And I also think that we can, you know, develop something that's really better than what we have now. But it won't happen without support, which I have felt certainly from the Washburn Foundation all along. And I know the hospital district is really just getting their feet wet and trying to figure out their own finances. But I also, at the same time, I'm trying to, you know, be positive and go forward with this. But the truth is we don't have all the answers yet, and we're going to do the best we can, and we really believe that for the health of the community, it is a really vital service. And I can tell you I'll put everything I have into trying to make that happen. It's a lot of work, and this whole process is a lot of work. So,
Terry, can you tell us what you mean by you need support?
Well, it's predominantly, at this point, financial. When we look at our projections, we will probably operate at a loss for at least a few years, and Peggy might be able to speak to that more than I can, just due to sort of the changes in healthcare. I think, you know, we can make some things a lot better, but there are changes that we can't do anything about. We have a Medicare mix, a payer mix of Medicare, Medicaid that is like 75% of our patient mix, and so that limits us, and we're not willing to say, like other private practices might be able to do on the mainland, limit that. Of course, we would never do that, and that makes us probably have a shortfall, and so that kind of financial support is probably what, you know, we're looking for, both, you know, with the hospital district and the Washburn Foundation, both who have, you know, committed verbally to supporting us. And I know that is their intention. And it's also just a matter of time that we are just, like, everybody's trying to figure this out. And I believe we will, but it's hard for me to say, it's for sure, here's what we're going to do, because, honestly, we're figuring it out. So, and Peggy might have some more to say.
Peggy Means.
I'd just like to say that I have enormous confidence that we're going to work this out. There's a lot of people working on it, and I know how Terry feels because that's how Marty felt and Bob when we first started, but all the signs are in place that it's going to work. And the main thing that's required is that all of you come and get services from physical therapy, because it's really important. One of the things that's made it operate at a loss is because it's been in such constrained space, and there's been more demand than there was space available. And so we're working right now on a longer term plan to move physical therapy where there's more room, and where if it needs to expand, it can, and then the fixed costs can be spread over all of you instead of a few of you, because we can't fit everyone into the clinic. So I understand everybody's anxiety about this. A lot of people have been calling me about it. But I think that the most important thing is community support, which we have had tremendous support, and so I feel confident about it.
Do you want to add to that, Deborah?
I think that was great. I mean, we certainly echo physical therapy is a really important part of the continuum of care, but we don't need to run everything. So I think looking to, again, you know, what model is going to make the most sense, and we are looking forward to partnering with you all on that.
Hi, Mary Wondra. I'm not quite sure how to phrase this. All of the clinic people are very important to all of us. Are you going to continue to employ them as this transition happens?
So we're in the middle of the transition process, and I think, you know, Jay's done a great job of looking at the staffing and has been meeting with a lot of the folks. I think that very much most of the folks that are there are definitely going to make the transition, And that's a process we're stepping through with each one of them, spending time with each one of them to talk about next steps. So we've done this before. We took another clinic over about a year and a half ago in Smoky Point in Arlington. And when we agreed to step in and work with you all, just as we did with Smoky Point, and as we did with Orcas as well, in fact, because we're in a parallel process, most of you probably know, with the clinic on Orcas. And as we stepped in, we said, we want to work with you all. We want to definitely take advantage of the talent and the dedication and the resources that exist there. And we would offer everybody the opportunity to join us, to apply, because we also have to make sure that everybody that is working in the clinic meets the standards that we've got. And I think that's one of the things we heard loud and clear when we started having conversations with the group is, you know, this was not something that people wanted to, I don't think anybody had it on their wish list that you would be doing this right now. But, you know, it would have been nice if there was no disruption. But if you're going to have to make a change, what I heard was there was a desire to make a change that was going to end up with some better place than where you were before. That's what Bob said. And I totally agree with that. So we actually have some, one of the things UW has, and I know we've got some faculty here, we've got some pretty firm standards around, you know, qualifications and certain kinds of practice and so on. So we want to make sure that everybody who works with us is going to be able to do the great job that we all want them to do going forward, and also that it's a mutual agreement. And so when we took over the Smoky Point Clinic, I think all of the staff, almost all the staff came over. There were a couple of folks that as we sat down and said, this is what we're all about, there were some people that said, yeah, I'm not, that's not for me. And that was, you know, that was fine. Likewise with the providers, we had the same conversation. So we're in the middle of that now. I think it's a little premature for us to say anything specific, but we're really close to being done with that process.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I am Pat Rowe. I came expecting to hear more in the details of what your organization was costing this community, which will have to support it. And we would like to know what the details of the agreement are, that who is on what side and who is what on the other side. I have here part of that agreement, and I hope that it will be publicized very soon in the future. I think George will have that available, and Krista, now that she's a public servant, will also have to make her agreeable. So we'll all be looking forward to that.
Well, I can speak a little bit to it, and maybe Krista, if you can join in and help me, but you know, at a high level, when we were invited to step in, and Marty and I started talking last fall, initially we had that first discussion. I'm getting feedback here. That when we first looked at it, you know, the clinic has been losing money for a while, and that was one of the challenges. And, you know, candidly, I think that's one of the reasons Island was not really able to continue doing what they were doing. And we're not in a position to step in and have a major loss either. So the community and the board, thank you, the board said, look, we really want this to happen. And, you know, through the process of the hospital district, we will come up with the funds to cover the loss. So that's been our agreement. And we've worked back and forth very hard over the last months to figure out what is that actually going to look like. Year one, it's a little bit more because there's a lot of investment of the electronic health record, contracting the all of the stuff we're doing now. But going forward, just realizing and being honest about what it's going to take to provide excellent primary care over the long haul in a really sustainable manner. So that was the agreement we have with Catherine Washburn and now the Public Hospital District. So I think it's pretty transparent information. Do you want to share more about
it? So that information is actually, I can't say readily available because we were hoping to have it all posted on our website, but it has been distributed at a number of our recent public hospital district meetings. So you can get a copy of the agreement. It's a public document because I'm your public servant. I'm also your chambermaid, just in case you didn't know that. which is the best. But that is a public document. You may get a copy of that. The pro forma budget that we used for that agreement and for our budgeting will be the foundation for the district's budgeting as we move forward. We've established an interim budget from now until the end of the year, and then for 2018, that those pro forma numbers will be used for that. Part of the agreement that we reached with the UW was some estimated annual costs, and those have been capped unless there's some mutual agreement between two parties that we decide something that they could offer us is super groovy and we want it. Then we could release that cap. But we worked very hard to try to predict the expenses that we would be addressing over the next 3 to 4, actually, I think it went out 4.5 or 5 years. The contract's actually for 3. So that pro forma budget is available, and the agreement is available, and y'all should come to our district meetings because they're fun and a lot gets said. So we are going to try to make most of that easily accessible once we get the website up. So right now we have to do it either print it out or send it to you if we get an email, so it's a little bit cumbersome right now.
The only other thing I'd add to that, Chris, is... it was a very thorough process to go mutually to come up with what do we think this is going to cost, but there's a lot of unknowns in the middle of that. What I will tell you is our shared goal is to do better than we've projected, because I think to Terry's point, you know, when we look at reimbursement rates, particularly Medicare, and who knows what's going to happen in the next phase of healthcare, one of our jobs is to do the very best we can at stewarding resources. And I think the clinic does a really great job now, and it's not like they're being wasteful or anything like that. You guys do a great job. But there are a few things we may be able to bring, like we might be able to bring better contracting for materials and vendors and that kind of thing as part of a large system that might bring some savings. There may be some other things we can do through, you know, expanding use of IT and technology that'll help reduce some of the costs. So our shared goal is to definitely do better than we've projected, but there's a lot of unknowns in there as well.
And I have access to those documents. I'm going to be on island a couple of days a week. I'm Deb Wiggs. I'm the superintendent of the hospital district. And so I'm happy to provide documents that are available in the public. Probably a couple more weeks before our website's up and functioning. But I'm happy to get a hold of them. I'm going to be, my office is going to be in the Blossom building, I think is what it's called. Right now I'm in Suite D. I'll be in B eventually in August, and so happy to provide documentation for anybody who wants it. So just get that going.
Thank you. Uh-huh. And I will intersperse between people coming to the microphone with questions I've been given. Next.
Hi, I'm Holly Bryant, and I have a relationship with a specialist off-island for oncology and was wondering, is that something that I have to start all over again with a U of W oncologist?
Not if you don't want to. If you have an established provider relationship, absolutely you should keep that.
Great.
I mean, we wouldn't want to interrupt that in any way.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, I have two questions that are related. Can we hear from the clinic about their commitment to PT, physical therapy, and can we hear from the public health hospital district about their commitment to PT? So that means somebody from the clinic and somebody from the public health district to speak about your commitment to physical therapy.
Me first. PT would be, I believe, one of those medical services that would qualify for funding through your tax dollars to the hospital district. Our reality, as we're currently facing it with this interim budget and the one for 2018 and 19, may make it a challenge for us to provide funding to PT. We have no tax dollars yet to use, and yet we are working because your tax dollars don't get collected until March of 2018. But we are doing a lot of work between now and the end of this year and into the early part of next year. So we are incurring some debt through the county. The county's giving us a little loan, an advance on our money, and we are taking out another type of loan through CWMA has offered us money, loaned us money for transition payments, and we have a plan in place to repay that and pay it back over the long term through Islanders Bank. So to get going and to be in operation, we needed funding, and so we have to borrow that. And the plan, I think it works out in the budget right now to have that paid back by the end of year two or three. I think it's two. I can't recall. But it's a short-term debt, but the need is immediate, and we may not be in a position, as things stand right now, to assist too much with that. Our goal, all things being equal, would be to look at PT as a vital medical service to the community, and would be to support them in the way we could. But that's, we're still working out the details of all of that.
So yeah, the clinic will be very supportive in referrals. PT is an integral part of patient care. We get that, and I would like to refer more. I don't know how many of you have seen the space in the clinic for PT. It's absurd. And they've done amazing things in that little space. I think with an expanded space and facilities and equipment, be happy to refer more. Excited to.
Thank you.
When I see, I'm Judy Langford. When I see enhanced nurse visits, also expanded hours as through lunch and so forth, are you expecting to add more providers or support person?
So, do you want to take that one?
So I think how we've kind of mapped what the future state will look like, we'll use our staff that are currently in the clinic as well as the providers. I think we'll be more strategic about how we schedule staff and how we schedule providers. So for an example, one provider may start at 8 while the second provider starts at 9:30 to allow for that staggering of physicians and providers in the clinic. So we'll start with what we have.
Thank you.
I have a question here. Why not make use of part-time staff?
No, I absolutely agree, and we definitely do have positions that are posted as part-time, 0.6 and 0.8 full-time equivalents, so that's 24 hours and 32 hours a week, as well as we've posted part-time or per diem or reserve positions, so as we need to add more staff or we have more patients scheduled, we can bring in those staff as well, too.
Yes, next.
My name is Bob Sundquist. I want to get a little more specific about oncology care. I've been under the care at the Murrell Cancer Center, which is housed at Island Hospital. And I know they use some of the hospital facilities, such as for labs. Every time I go, they take blood and they have the results within half an hour before your appointment. So I'm wondering if you have any relationship to, I understand they're a separate clinic from the hospital.
But it's part of Island Hospital, you're saying?
No, it's not a part of Island Hospital.
It's a private, freestanding?
It's like a private clinic.
Sure.
Yeah, they use their facilities, and I assume they pay for that and
okay.
So on.
So they're probably an affiliate then, that's what they usually call them, an affiliate of Island Hospital.
Right.
But again, there would be no reason you would need to change that.
Okay.
You don't have to change your specialist. You can still continue to see whoever you want to. We wouldn't make you change that. I thought where you were going was a little differently. We actually do have a good relationship with Island. We're working really closely with them on this transition. And, you know, earlier I think a couple of folks mentioned their deadline originally was June 30th, which is next week. And as we started getting in here and working, all of us said there's just no way that can happen. There's not nearly enough time. And they've given us an extension until the end of September, which, thank goodness, because there's a lot of work to do between now and then to get everything up and running. So we're working really well, and we'll continue to work with Island Hospital. They're a partner with us on a lot of other things, so if you use Island specialists or others, private specialists, you can continue to do that over the long haul.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, my name's Phil Page, and you talked about community support and on July 15th, myself, Gretchen Wing, Jeff Hurd, and Libby Valusi, you may know some of them, will be doing a concert here, and all the proceeds will go to the Washburn Foundation for transition costs. So If you want to support, it's just by donation. So Saturday evening, July 15th.
Hi, my name is Peggy Means, and I have a question because yesterday I found out that Regents is no longer going to provide individual health plans in San Juan County, and so basically the only one left for individual health plans that are not part of AppleCare are is Kaiser. And Kaiser just notified all the individual plan PPO people that they have to join the Kaiser regular HMO and won't have the same providers that they've had in the past. So my question is, will the UW be considering offering an insurance product that might be available to Lopesians so that we're not only having one option?
You know, I wish we were, honestly, but that's not something, UW doesn't have an insurance product. That's not something we've undertaken. That would be a huge job of work for us to, you know, stand up our own insurance program. So we don't do that. And we struggle at times, you know, when there's changes in the market with payers coming in or out or ruling people in or out. So that's probably not something we're going to be able to really have an impact on, unfortunately.
Hi, my name's Tom Ruggles. We've heard that our partner of 20 years, Island Hospital, looked at the numbers and I guess didn't like them. And we're looking, I'm hearing today that we've got 2-3 more years of operating loss, and we're looking at a 3-year contract. What guarantee do we have we're not going to be doing the same thing 3 years from now?
It's a good question. And I'll just, let me clarify you. There will be an, I'm going to go out on a limb here. You guys, those of you in the front room, correct me if you think I'm wrong. There will always be an operating loss for the clinic. We want to make it as small of a loss as possible, but I don't think it's ever been the case that this clinic has really had a positive bottom line. There's always been subsidy and loss that's been made up through communities, through other mechanisms. So, and that's probably always the case because what it costs to deliver all, wraparound primary care is the fixed cost of that is more than a community of this size is ever going to be able to support. There aren't enough people living here, even if they came to the doctor every, well, no, you don't want to come to the doctor every day. But there aren't enough people here to support that. So the question that I think the whole community is wrestling with is how do we make that difference up? It's no different than education or libraries, but it's an investment in the community year over year. It's never going to generate, really any profit off of that. So the initial agreement is for 3 years, and what we've mapped out is what is the what's the shortfall coverage for each of those years, and it's actually a little bit longer because we've got startup and then 3 years. And our expectation is we'll continue to do that. And we had a lot of conversation about this. There was a desire for it to be an initial contract longer. That's pretty much our standard, entry into working on something new. But what I will tell you personally, and actually I can't, Jay would probably speak to this in volumes, this is a ton of work. We would never do this if we were just going to come in for 3 years and exit again. To invest this much in a community and to bring resources and to do all of this, we are definitely in it for the long haul. And so, we have to have contracts and our legal teams on both sides have to weigh in with, the rules that we have to abide by. But we're truly here for the long haul. And the relationships are really important to us. We already have a lot of relationships up here, and we want to continue those over the very, very long term. So our assumption, our goal is we'll continue to renew that contract every 3 years as we go forward. But we all need to, just have an opportunity to sit down and look at it every 3 years and say, do we need to change any of the terms? Does this still make sense? However, just in the way we always do with our contracts. Does that make sense?
Jay, did you want to add anything at this point?
No, I think one of the things that I will say as well, too, is the financial data that we do have from Island Hospital truly is, for me, the way I look at it is an opportunity to show that we can just do a really good job at UW Medicine. I think there are significant opportunities around supply chain. Some of the technology that we will implement will allow us to be more efficient and streamline workflows and processes, expand access, hours of operation, and all of those pieces come together and really impact the shortfall as well.
Okay, I have a question here. Will the University of Washington folks, you all, commit to periodic community meetings like this one?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I think that's part of our role going forward, which we're just now, where's Deb, in the back there somewhere. Yeah, you said 3 weeks into your new gig, and so the hospital district is brand new. It's just getting baby steps. But our assumption is that our relationship with the hospital district going forward is going to be one of great, I mean, tremendous transparency and working with the community over time. So, you know, we haven't actually mapped out a plan, but I would envision regular opportunities for either town halls or us joining those meetings where people would come, but for ongoing conversation. Sure.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Erica Taylor. I'm one of the nurses at the clinic currently, and I'm assuming we'll be. No, I'm just teasing in the future. But I actually, this is not as much a question as it is a comment. I have already seen more dedication from UW than I have felt support-wise from Island Hospital for years. You don't know what we've been dealing with as a clinic, trying to even get toilet paper for our clinic. So that right there, even, the streamlining of things, I think, is going to be a great improvement over what we've been struggling with. I mean, I don't think most people, and this is not to bash Island, I think one of the reasons why they chose not to re-up the contract is because they too have a public hospital, and they were using their tax dollars to support our clinics here. And that was a conflict of interest, I think, for their community and their county. So that right there, just from a business standpoint, I think was a big reason. But it was really hard for them to support us out here, I think. Rarely ever saw anybody from Island Hospital come to the clinic, where I've seen UW here a ton, and they have already given us a lot more support than I've felt even in the last 2 years from Island Hospital. A lot of staff from Island, we would go over and get stuff that we needed on our personal time and bring it back so we could provide the care that we could here. So I just sort of want to put that out there so that people understand a lot of the things that we were dealing with. So I'm very excited and looking forward to see how things are going to improve with UW. I think the telemedicine is going to be fabulous, because if you can hook up with a cardiologist at the clinic rather than having to go off Island, dealing with all of that, and maybe other specialties, whether it's psychiatry. I pray that's one of the things that we're going to be working towards, because I think that would help our community.
You're running out of time.
But and for those of you who don't know, Well, my husband is the sergeant on the island, so I know how that would help us in numerous layers in our community, but I think that they're going to be able to bring a lot. Counseling alone, I think, is going to be fabulous. So, thank you.
Thanks,
Will the will the medical clinic... Whoa, now I have to really turn it off. Got carried away. Will the medical clinic provide the two physicians to approve death with dignity provisions for end-of-life patients?
Did it say two physicians?
It says two physicians. I don't know if that's the law, but will the medical clinic provide the two physicians to approve death with dignity?
Oh, I know what you mean. Yes. So I guess what I would say in the short answer is, yes, so one of the things that UW Medicine is really committed towards is end-of-life care and choice-making. A lot of our faculty have been very much at the forefront of supporting death with dignity and folks' ability to make choices. The mechanism of that, I know there's a lot of rules and requirements around how that happens, so I'm sure we would figure out a way to make sure that that's an option here for folks as they're needing to make choices. But that's sort of a standard part of how we run healthcare everywhere.
Right. Space for physical therapy has been mentioned several times as a roadblock to having a financially feasible physical therapy clinic, and it was just made clear that the public hospital district will not have funding to assist in expanding space. Will the Katherine Washburn Foundation be dedicating funds to purchase and or build a space?
Well, right before I came over here, Don Poole and Kerm Taylor and I were plotting our Tuesday meeting to look at four different options for space for physical therapy, and we actually have a lot of data already because Catherine Washburn was in the process of finding them new space before all these changes happened. And I don't see George here now. Are you still here, George? Yeah, but he told me a few months ago, well, we were going to spend a bunch of money building out a new building for them, so why wouldn't we help them out now when they really need it? So I'm counting on that when we put together a strong proposal for their budget and their space, that the community will be there to support it.
Hi, I'm Sam Olson. Most of us know about the opioid epidemic that's occurring in the country. It's a huge problem, medical problem for us. I had a disc protrusion that lasted 6 weeks. I was on OxyContin for that period of time. It took me about 3.5 weeks to kick the habit. So I'm wondering what sort of program does UW have to deal with opioid addictions?
It's a huge problem. I'm sure everyone who's been following the news, you can almost not avoid hearing about it almost on a daily basis. And I'm really proud. I think UW has done a wonderful job of really taking the lead on chronic pain management. I don't know if you remember, last year there was a horrible thing happening. There was a chain of pain clinics that had really been overprescribing heavily on opioids, and they were shut down by the state because of all kinds of problems. We ended up taking the majority of those patients and have really been working with many of them over the last year to help them reevaluate their pain management approach and bring down their medications to safe levels and help them find other ways. There's not an easy answer. I think if there was, we wouldn't all be in this boat. But what I will say is we have a really strong value of safe management of chronic pain, of which sometimes it involves long-term medication, but more often we're looking for other ways, using other forms of treatment or intervention to the greatest degree possible. But we have a pretty rigorous approach to using any kind of medication over the long haul, because it is so risky. It's very dangerous. And so we have a whole set of protocols around if somebody is on, as you described, if you're on opioids for a period of time, we have a very strict set of rules that helps the patients. It also helps our providers, because mostly these are people that are really suffering, and it's hard when somebody who's really suffering comes in and says, oh, I just need, you've got to give me this, I need this, I need this. And so we actually have a very structured program that helps both our docs and our patients know what to expect and have a safe plan. So. But it's not an easy answer for anybody, for sure.
Currently, Oregon Regents MedAdvantage is accepted here. Will that continue? It's called Oregon Regents MedAdvantage.
I don't know. I'll put that on my to-find-out list.
Okay. That information you'll feed back to... Who wants to gather that information for the questions that they're going
to? The public hospital district.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's a new one. I haven't heard about that one, so we'll do some digging and find out.
I'm Marcia Bartholow. I know I only got one question, so I hope this only counts as one, but I'm trying to put together a few different pieces that had to do with, you were saying you're really interested in getting to know the community and wanting to support what the community feels it needs. And there's a problem with financial support because we don't make money here yet, and that UW isn't set up to fill that gap. That's going to be a local need. And some of the changes I see have to do, and what you talked about maybe would help PT, is putting in more hours and seeing more people, and that would be a way So my question would be, one, what is the way you gather community input so you know what's important to us? What does that look like? And two, I guess I'm just comparing having, you know, gone to certain people in the mainland and coming here, and sometimes you have a long wait because somebody came in and had a big problem and it wasn't the 10-minute picture. And I know that quite often nowadays in the medical community, the way they make their financial resources even out is that they have kind of 12-minute sessions with people. And I'm just wondering how UW's looking at this community, how you're going to get to know us and know what our needs are. What happens when they're not things you cover, they're not your style, which, you know, is happening already, and what do we have to look forward to about that?
Sure. So let me start. There were a couple pieces in there. The first one about how to get to new, I mean, partly that's a big part of why we're here today, right, is just having some of that dialogue very broadly to give people the chance to ask us questions and give us input. The public hospital district, I think, is also a really important part of that. That's their job, is to manage the needs of the community. So we'll be working really closely with that group around what are the ongoing needs of the community and, you know, participating, giving them information about us and vice versa, doing a lot more discovery over the coming months. So it'll definitely be a work in progress. You're absolutely right on the second piece, which is, we were just talking about this earlier today, you know, because I was hearing that not everybody who lives here gets their primary care on the island, and partly that might be because the clinic's really busy and there's not always great access. So one of the things we're really going to be looking at is how do we expand access, because if we could grow the number of patients coming to the clinic, we could add more providers, we could add more staff. We would love to get a little bit bigger and busier, because that would help us to actually bring our costs down, because we'd be able to have more business with, you know, the same basic fixed cost. So that would be a good thing. And so one of our goals is to work with the team to figure out how can we do that differently and what are all of the ways. Jay's got some great ideas about this, that we can really look at using all of the resources we've got. Letting nurses do some of the things that nurses are able to do is a really great first step, for example, to really make sure the whole team is working together to do that. It's not about 12-minute long appointments. That's not the way you get there. But it is about using all of the parts of the system as efficiently as we can. Does that answer most of your question? Okay.
Jay, did you want to add to that?
No, she's channeling exactly what I was thinking. I will just say that the clinic has some phenomenal nurses who are very skilled and knowledgeable, and we want to tap into those resources and use them to the full scope of their licensure. And so there are opportunities where we can move some of the visits that typically may be seen by a physician or a mid-level off to a nurse, and that way now the physician can really focus on some of that chronic care management, preventative wellness, and annual wellness. So these are some of the goals, and the nurses are really excited about this work, and so am I. So I think it'll really help us kind of cut away what are the needs in the clinic.
Okay, Deb Wiggs again, and you guys are going to really sick of hearing from me, but
would you tell us who you are, what your job is?
Deb Wiggs, the superintendent again of the hospital district.
But okay. What is a superintendent of a hospital?
Superintendent district? Of the hospital district is the person who gets the stuff done. Okay, I'm just going to say that. Okay. The commissioners tell me what to do, and then I go and do it. Okay, short answer. Actually, I've done this once before, many years ago in Friday Harbor. The point is that part of the work of the district is to understand the healthcare needs of the community. I have generated, we will be doing work towards that end as we move forward into this next year. Part of our work is to define the mission and vision out of the intentions of why this district was built, what are the goals that we have for the organization. Some of it is about the finances, which are a little bit interesting right now, but as we move forward, what is it we're going to be able to do with resources and how to accomplish that. I do have a 162-page community health needs assessment from the Center for Disease Control that was available. I've got it downloaded specifically to San Juan Islands and then to Lopez specifically. That'll probably be part of our foundational conversations, is to check that against and validate it against what we see from and hear from all of you. That comes through focus groups. It comes through survey work. It comes from data from working with UW and what they're finding in their
information. The great thing about Epic, and we use that many different times, is the amount of information you can get from systems like that that truly inform us as to what's happening in this community. So I'll be part of the conversation as we move forward over the next several months, if not a year, okay? Timeline? Okay, so that'll be part of the work we'll be doing.
Question here. If I understand correctly, UW primary commitment is to primary care. What provision will there be for palliative care and hospice?
Great question. We, as I mentioned earlier, we incorporate end-of-life planning decision-making in all of our primary care. So that's an important piece. But I think as we do with, you know, with other kinds of specialties, depending on where someone is in their care, and where they want to be, we would likely partner with hospice or with palliative care, depending on where the location of the patient is. So it's, I mean, right now we don't have, in our primary care clinics that we have now, we don't have hospice, for example, in our clinics, but we work very closely with hospice and would continue to do that.
Yes.
Hi, Rick McCoy. I always introduce myself to people that don't know me as the second best pharmacist on the island, because we all know who the first one is. So a question was brought up earlier about death with dignity, and the clinic over the years has been very supportive of death with dignity. We've been set up to do it at least 5 to 6 times. It's become a complicated situation anymore, but it's still able to be done here on the island, and we've been set up to do it at least 4 to 5 times, maybe more. It's become more complicated, but there are other resources on the island. We have a retired physician who lives on the island who was instrumental in setting up the original legislation. It's become very costly to do. The medications to do it are very costly, but through that woman who lives here, the retired, we were able to secure grants for people that were low income and had one all set up. Unfortunately, oftentimes the patient dies before they're able to do it or get to the stage, but if that's something people are interested in, there should be no fears about ever able to do that. That is a choice that has always been available through Bob's help and the help that we've been able to provide through the other physician and through the grants that are available. So that's always been available out there, and it's something that if you want to do that, that's available.
Thank you.
My name's Ed Sheridan, and I guess my question has to do with more the interface between the neighborhood health clinics and the specialists at UW. Being on an island, whenever we have issues with cardiology or, say, hip replacements, there's always the aftercare, the follow-up, which are usually not with primary care but with the specialists. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder how you bring that, make that available for patients with neighborhood clinics. For example, Island Hospital has some specialists, and there's a provision for them, for us to take the ferry, get on a taxi, go over to Island Hospital and come back, and that taxi care is taken care of. It's not a comprehensive, but just in general, I'm sure you've had this question before. Part of the resource of UW is that you have so many specialist clinics. How can we take advantage of that?
Mm-hmm. So maybe it might be a good time. I could tell you a little bit, and Jay, please chime in about some of the ways we're looking at hopefully improving access to specialty care or follow-up care with specialists through telemedicine. And you know, telehealth is not one thing. There's a lot of different pieces of it that is going on. It's a really fast-moving technology right now. I'm not an expert on it, but if I can understand it, I think anybody can. So we're doing a few different things right now that are really exciting. One is something that's called e-consult, which the name doesn't really matter, but basically it means this. So if I go see Dr. Wilson and he says, gosh, you've got this thing on your face, I want you to see a dermatologist, he could refer me to a dermatologist, and what I'll say is everywhere, dermatologists are hard to come by. So I would probably get an appointment in 4 to 6 weeks, and then I would have to go, as you said, get on a ferry, take a day off, drive, go do that, see the dermatologist, and then come back. Instead, what we're doing increasingly is I go see Bob, and he says, yeah, you've got that thing on your face. I don't like the look of that. I'm going to do an e-consult. So he could take a picture of it with his phone or something called a dermatoscope, a little camera that we use, and sends that image off to one of the dermatologists in UW Medicine System. That goes through our electronic health record. The dermatologist pulls it up and can also see all the labs that Bob has done and all the other things he's already looked at and the history and exam that he's done, sees all of that information, looks at it and says, yeah, here's what I think that is. And then he sends back to Bob within usually 24 hours, sends back and says, here's what I think that thing is. Give her this ointment, you know, tell her to put this on it 3 times a day for a week, and then take another look at it and see if it's gotten smaller or bigger or more whatever. And that process does a number of things. One is, if it really does whatever I have, if it's really getting worse, if after a week it's like, you know, horrible, then I'll go see somebody really urgently. And we know all of that pre-work has been done. So I've sort of skipped all of those initial steps. Somebody's already looked at it, evaluated. I've probably tried the first thing that would be reasonable to try. And if it's not any better, then I sort of go to the front of the line because it's something that's really concerning. But 90% of the time or more, it probably was something that could be easily managed locally. I didn't have to spend all that time and energy going off island. My care was able to be managed locally. They could take care of me right here, and I didn't have to do anything different. So we're doing that with a lot of specialties increasingly. This is something that folks have been testing in other parts of the country, and it's phenomenal. It also really helps because our dermatologists can do this work remotely, and they can see a lot more patients than if they had to schedule a face-to-face appointment with me, and I had to start from scratch and tell them my whole life story and all that stuff. But they can actually see. So it actually helps us improve dermatology access. So it's way more efficient, saves the patients a bunch of money, and makes our access to specialty better. So that's one thing. We've been growing that really quickly. We've got 3 or 4 specialties that are already doing that, including dermatology. And we're expanding that to others, and we'll look forward to bringing. So that'll be one of the things that's available for Bob and others in the clinic to use that as soon as we're stepping in. The other thing that we're working on is called telemedicine, truly. If it's a specialty that's not on e-consult, or if it's one that doesn't really lend itself to, and I just need to be evaluated by a specialist for one thing or another, or I was, you know, just in the hospital and I need a follow-up with a cardiologist or an endocrinologist or someone, I can sit in front of a screen, or I could do it on the telephone, but we like the screen actually better because it's better for the providers to actually see you and they can, you know, see things about you. Sit in front of a screen and have the cardiologist who's down in Seattle at the Regional Heart Center sitting on the other side, and they can do the follow-up very, very much virtually. We've got staff in the clinic. So one of the things we'll do is have a telehealth station set up in the clinic that'll have a dedicated computer, and the whole station will be set up very comfortably and support the staff that will help you be able to do that. So we don't expect people to do this on their own, but they'll be able to help you get set up. The clinic staff can help do all the things they would normally do, the vitals and, you know, collecting all the information. But you can actually have a virtual visit with a specialist in many cases that way. So again, the first step saves a lot of time, saves you a lot of misery and hardship in the travel time, and makes it actually better for the specialist as well to be able to do things much more quickly. A lot of follow-ups, really, you know, as you all have known, I know myself as well, you know, once I've seen somebody, if I need a follow-up, it's maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And it's really important for that doctor to see me for that 5 or 10 minutes to say, tell me how it's going, are you taking the medicine, what are you noticing, any questions. That's really important. But if I lived on Lopez, I would not feel like it was worth me spending the better part of a day or more to drive miles and miles and take multiple ferries to do it. So it's a way of trying to connect people very quickly and easily to make it easier on the patients and a little easier for the providers as well. And then there's a third way that we've been doing for a long time already that's up and running now. It's called virtual clinic. And so this is more of a kind of a virtual urgent care, 24/7, where you call. You can either, again, you can do it by phone or you can do it on your computer or on Skype or screen, where you call and talk to an ARNP generally and just say, you know, I've got a sore throat or I think I've got pink eye, whatever is going on, I don't know. And you can do a visit over the phone that way. They can call on your prescriptions, do whatever it is, and it's a
a wrapped-up visit. So there's a lot of different things we're doing. We won't have all of those fully on board day one when we start, but they're definitely, I think one of the reasons we're really excited, among others, to be part of this is such a perfect place for us to really develop those tools. If there's any place where this kind of stuff makes sense, it's an island, because every single time you have to leave costs money, it costs time. And if you're sick or you have mobility issues, it's also just physically hard on people. So we really want to think about ways that we can make it easier and make sure you're getting the care you need, but that we're really minimizing the cost and the challenges around that. So those are things we're working towards, and we'll be excited to bring more of that over the coming months as we go forward. So a lot of what Jay has been doing has been with our IT team. They've been up here already quite a bit, putting in, because I know I've already figured out that the internet is a little spotty up here, so we'll have so we'll have dedicated system in the clinic networks that'll be really reliable. So you could do it from home, but probably better to come in and do it in the clinic, where we're going to have a good support system set up, and we'll have a dedicated kiosk for that to happen.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Karen Gilbert, and my experience is working as a nurse practitioner in oncology and palliative care, and I worked for Skagit Regional Health as in their inpatient palliative care unit, and also piloted a home-based palliative care service with Hospice of the Northwest, who is the service provider for hospice services in this area. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't keep that going. It's a small agency, and it could not really afford to run a home-based palliative care, doing home visits, that sort of thing. But what Skagit Regional is doing is having clinic-based palliative care providers in specific clinics. They're starting out with specialty clinics. And so my question is, especially looking at telehealth and the whole topic we've been talking about, palliative care services are services that are really important for people for pain and symptom management and clarifying goals of care with serious disease. And you know, it's an important service, and you don't qualify for hospice until, you know, your prognosis is really limited or you stop treatment or whatever. So hospice services, you know, tend to be limited at one end of the palliative care spectrum. But I'm just wondering, does UW have an outpatient palliative care service that where we could access people on our island, people living with serious chronic disease, serious pain and symptom issues, issues that sometimes make it really difficult to travel. Yeah. Could we perhaps, if UW has this kind of service, could we access it? Could our community access it from here?
That is a great suggestion. It's not one we've really thought about, but I agree completely. Palliative care would be actually a great idea to think about some telehealth extension. So I noted that down, but thank you. That's a really good idea.
I have a question here. How can I give feedback about a member of clinic staff that hasn't done a good job with my care? Anyone want to respond to that? I'm sorry I didn't read it first.
There you go.
All right.
I can respond to that.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm Crystal Rolventi. You guys know me. I'm the clinic manager. And I am there Monday through Friday, usually 8:15 to 5. Go home for lunch. But I'm always available for anyone here to call me anytime about any of these issues. And if I don't have the answer, I'll find the answer and get back to you on that. These are the things that we absolutely need to know about at the clinic. It's really important, and I can tell you that I've been kind of surprised at how little contact I've had with the community during this time frame. Maybe 2 phone calls in the past 9 months about the transition. But I'm a resource, I'm available, and if you ever have a question, please call me. It's my job to make sure that we are running as smoothly as possible within the walls of the clinic. So I'm here for you anytime. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And you're, yeah. I was just going to repeat the name.
Oh, it's Crystal.
Crystal
Roventi.
Crystal Roventi at the clinic. Yes. Does UW Medicine support emergency care?
Well, I think that's a big question, and I'll look to some of our other team members to answer that, but I mean, we do a lot of emergency care across, you know, our regional system with trauma and Airlift Northwest and so forth. Our role coming to Lopez, we were asked to really provide primary care, and that's our main focus, is to really make sure we have great comprehensive primary care along the whole continuum. I know there's other pieces around emergency services, as we just had this afternoon, and so working across that continuum and partnering with all parts of the system is really important to us. And I don't know if Bob or Chris, anybody wants to speak to that more broadly?
I've been scribbling down notes here because I knew this was coming, and I wasn't sure exactly when it was going to come up. So we all feel and know that emergency healthcare is an important aspect of any community. It's particularly important for our community, given our location and the situation that we all face. It was one of those issues that came up during the search when we were looking for providers. It followed the same, a similar tract of PT. We knew that this was a primary care clinic conversation that we were having with the UW, and that PT was not something that they typically had in-house. They contracted out, or people got their PT in other freestanding clinics. We knew that they weren't an emergency services clinic, and so we kept that in the forefront of our discussions with them. We keep telling them that this is an important part of Lopez, and the clinic itself, the physical facility of the clinic, is important to our EMS services. So I believe that everyone was pretty aware from the get-go how important that aspect of our community is. So I think I've spoken to Chief Jim and spent some time with Becky Smith, and they're the first to acknowledge, and as are we, that the interface between our EMS services and our clinic is unique. You don't find it typically on the mainland that you are bringing emergency care into a primary care clinic, nor is a primary care doc stabilizing an emergency patient, although he could have an emergency, I suppose, developed during a regular appointment. But that being said, it remains important that we know and find out how emergency services can continue to be provided here. Your EMS people are so seriously committed to continuing the good care that they have done. They are deeply concerned about how that relationship going forward with the clinic is going to manifest, because they know some of the restrictions that the UW feels that they have. I believe strongly that the dialogue is a continuing project for EMS, under the direction of EMS, with the support of the hospital district and the University of Washington. Some key questions have been posed to the UW to find out exactly, I think for EMS to clarify in the short term, what can they expect to be able to do going forward. Some of those came back affirmative with conditions, and so that's the starting point for EMS to see exactly how the services will move forward. It's my understanding that we will have a medical control person here. My belief it would be hopefully Bob Wilson, who has the relationship now with EMS, and that relationship will continue. So short-term activities, I don't know, relationships, I suppose. In the short term, a plan is somewhat afoot, and the long-term plan, planning for the eventuality of Bob Wilson not being with us and other changes coming, will be under the direction of Chief Jim and the commission and the people that they bring to the table, which I would presume will be some of their paramedics, the people that are boots on the ground, working with the appropriate representatives from the UW, and the relationship is just starting. And so in the long term, it means the UW being able to watch what does happen when the ambulance pulls up to the back room, and just kind of really in real time learning what our EMS people are facing and what the challenges are. So We don't have any long-term answers, but your EMS people are committed and are clearly aware of the challenges that are facing their continued support of you. And so the hospital district supports them, and time will tell. But as you can see, the ambulances are still running and the volunteers are still out supporting us. So give them your support.
Well, we're going to continue along what we've been doing, the same lines, yeah. Jay and I have been talking, and we're involved in the fire department talking with them as well. So I'll continue to be medical control here. The emergency urgent services that happen during the daytime clinic hours are no change. After hours, we're working on that system, and it looks real solvable.
Thank you.
So, in case you don't recognize me, I'm Chief Jim. He's in a wedding in Seattle, so I'm Becky Smith. I'm the chair of the Fire Commission, so I do just want to say that we are in meetings with people on this. There's nothing definite to say now, other than there probably will be changes coming, both the way EMS operates as well as the way the clinic operates with that. I guess what I want to say to you is we're dedicated, EMS, Lopez Fire, is very dedicated to try to continue the unique care that we give you. It's not like any place else in the world, I don't think. And we will do everything in our power to try to maintain that as much as we can. Like I said, there will be changes coming. I guess the one advice I would say to you is invest in Island Air Transport, $39 a year for your family, and Airlift Northwest for $79. Those will probably be key things. So, like I said, it is a work in progress.
Thank you.
Will family medicine residents be paid by the clinic staff? Be paid? Yeah, I guess so. Will family medicine residents be paid clinic staff?
I think there might be a couple of pieces. One is, are we thinking about bringing residents to the clinic, and then who would pay them? If I'm interpreting that. So it's definitely been an active conversation. There were residents in the islands in the past, and it's certainly something that I think there would be some interest in. Again, it's a great opportunity for training people to do really great rural health care, to be able to have residents coming. So I know our fairly new chair of family medicine is aware and very interested, so that might be something over time we develop. It's not going to be in our phase one, because phase one, we just want to get the clinic running really, really well. So that's sort of step one. I think there's a definite possibility. If and when that does happen, residents aren't paid by clinic operations. They would be, that's out of the department fund, so it wouldn't be anything that the community or anybody here would have to offset the cost of.
Thank you. We know why Lopez needs you, but what is in it for the University of Washington? Does Lopez fit into, how does Lopez fit into UW's longer-term strategy?
That is a great question. We asked ourselves that question when we first started having conversations with Marty, because, we first had this discussion both with Lopez and Orcas last year, and we said, I don't know, really? It's like we're pretty far, and, maybe it makes sense for you guys to work with somebody else? I mean, that was really our, we said, we don't necessarily want to come barging in. Is this really the right thing? Over the months, as we really talked about it, I think the things that tipped the decision for us were, one, how impressed we were with the incredible amount of community engagement. And, it was very powerful and compelling to see how incredibly committed and engaged this community was, what you could do. The public hospital district, the taxing district alone,
was amazing. The fact that you all passed that with 86%, I've never heard of a levy passing so strongly and overwhelmingly. I mean, you have an amazing group. And that made a big difference for us because it said, you know, how strongly committed the community was, how important this was to you, and that we really had strong partners. It wasn't just you were going to ask us in and then we'd never see from you again, that the community is very engaged and committed. And the second is we already have some very important relationships up here. So again, Airlift Northwest is here, and we have very strong ties to the island region through that as well. We work closely with Skagit, with Island Hospital. They're very good partners of ours as well. So we have some strong relationships. We have a lot of ties with faculty and alumni who live up here as well. So it made sense for us. And you know that we heard loud and clear from a lot of folks in the community, legislators and others who said, this is a high priority and UW really needs to be a part of this. So you know, we were absolutely convinced. So I think over the long haul, as we look at expanding our role, and that's why Jay has come in this role of really helping us develop this rural clinic model. And so we're learning along with you as we go to figure out, you know, how does this look for us going forward? Are there more opportunities where this might make sense?
Will the financial stability of the Orcas Clinic affect the Lopez Clinic?
No, they're two separate contracts, two separate deals. In fact, along the way, as we were having these discussions or negotiations, at one, you know, they were totally independent. It could have happened that we did one and not the other, or neither, or both. And each of the clinics, each of the islands, was really making their own decisions in an independent way. That said, back to our efficiency, we think there's opportunities for us to sort of combine efforts in a little bit. We might be able to share some supplies, some equipment, maybe some backup coverage and things like that, that might help both the islands reduce some of their expenses and make things a little easier to some degree. But they're very separate pieces.
That's all the questions I have at this point. So I think we'll go ahead and close the meeting. And if you have anything else, you can probably grab one of these people up front for a few minutes before they have to make it to their other commitments. And I want to thank everyone for their help and for great questions.
Rhea, do you mind if I just... I can't thank people enough for turning out today. For your thoughtfulness and your time. This won't be your last opportunity. Jay's here a lot, and I'll be back over here over the next few months as well quite a bit. And you've got the Public Hospital District. I mean, they're really your resource now for channeling information, but we want to be available to you as well to continue this as we're learning over the months. So we really thank you. We are honored and really appreciate your confidence and willingness to work with us as we step into this. So we look forward to a long, long relationship going forward with you all. So thank you.
And don't forget the cookies.
The one thing I want to leave you with is that you know that the Catherine Washburn Foundation or Association, the Public Hospital District, the UW, and your clinic staff are all committed to providing you quality health care. So please stay in touch with us, and we'll stay in touch with you.